You're listening to In the Vault, a KPMG banking industry podcast series.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to today's podcast. I'm Liz Lamadou, a principal in KPMG's banking and capital markets tax practice. And today I'm joined by some of my transfer pricing and risk colleagues to talk about Reg W, what it is, where it applies within a banking group, and what implications it may have to allocations and transfer pricing for tax. So please join me in welcoming Bree Siciliano and Seema Jain from our transfer pricing tax practice and Michael Keller from our financial risk advisory practice. Welcome, guys.
Thanks, Liz.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So let's dive right in. So Reg W, 23A, 23B are terms I hear fairly often in the banking world. And I know that we need to be very cognizant of them from when we're doing tax planning and certain transactions. But I'll be honest here, I can't actually articulate any specifics about it. So why don't we start with the basics? What's Reg W? Mike, can you walk us through that?
Yeah. So Reg W is a regulation that kind of came out of the Dodd-Frank reforms. It's a regulation that governs the transactions between federally insured depository institutions and its affiliates. It's essentially designed to prevent disadvantageous practices for negatively affecting the depository institutions and also negatively affecting by transfer, the insurance depository fund of the FDIC. This is regulated in two ways. It's somewhat regulated around understanding the transactions, which is generally the part of bound that we usually do in what we call 23A. And then we also have a regulation around 23B, which is ensuring market terms between inter-affiliate relationships between the two different entities are managed in an effective manner and make sure essentially that services provided between the two entities are at what they call arm's length terms and also have a sufficient properly third-party terms in their contracts to not disadvantageous the banking regulations. So,
Michael, if I think about that in the banking group context, you're talking about the two different affiliates or different groups. So do we have one group that's the bank chain, which is the regulated bank entity and subsidiaries, but then anything outside of that, which could be the parent financial holding corporation and brothers and sisters to the bank?
I think it's easier to think about it more along the lines of there is the institution that has the federally insured deposit related activities. That's your banking institution. And then you usually have another type of affiliate. Usually the most common one is a broker dealer. And there's interactions between those two different entities because there's cost savings by having both those entities at an institution. So naturally, if you have access to certain services at one and you need it for the other, you'd want to use those services. This regulation is designed essentially to make sure that the broker dealer in this instance isn't getting a free lunch, that they're basically not paying effective costs related to those activities at the banking institution.
Okay, that's helpful. And so where do you see this in terms of the areas of application within the bank? I'm hearing the depository institution, the broker dealer, but can you talk to us about more lines of business or areas within that that would see this?
Sure. So it's very important to all the lines of businesses because you have to monitor for these types of activities and make sure that they're properly allocated. So generally how this works is you usually have a survey go through to different businesses and make sure that as new types of transactions come in, that you fill out this analysis to make sure that you're complying with the Reg W laws. So it would affect all of the business lines, particularly ones that do things that are related to both types of entities. So a good example of that is if you're doing loans and bundling them into mortgage-backed securities, that would have aspects of a banking-related institution and then have aspects of a broker-dealer. So in those instances, you would want to make sure that that was properly managed to make sure that the Reg W-related implications of that were monitored and properly recorded in their cost allocations. Also, another area, three key areas that I think our colleagues will also bring up. There's tax implications, there's risk implications, and compliance and treasury implications to this. So it's a pretty cross bank regulatory parameter that really is very important to understanding basically how the firm works.
Great. Well, why don't we dive into some of those areas? I heard treasury, tax, risk, legal. Bree, any specifics you want to add?
So in terms of the key areas of compliance, as Mike said, we look at things like the identification of affiliates, the identification of covered transactions, monitoring attribution, securing and monitoring collateral, monitoring quantitative limits, and then finally in 23B, monitoring market terms. And so to Mike's point, if we're looking at those key areas, this really goes all across an organization, all across the departments. And so we're talking about accounting, legal, finance, regulatory, tax and transfer pricing, technology, and the controller. And all of these stakeholders have roles, responsibilities, making sure that Reg W is implemented for these affiliate transactions. So for example, with legal, legal might be tasked with identifying the affiliates, keeping the affiliate list updated, distributing that affiliate list to all of the lines of business. And then the lines of business would then use that affiliate list to flag any actual or potential transactions with other affiliates. And then it goes back to legal. So then when it's passed back to legal, making sure the list is updated on a constant basis. Now, for example, in Treasury, Section 23A, to Mike's point, requires that covered transactions be secured with defined collateral types and set collateral margins. And so this could include loans to affiliates, guarantees, letters of credit, other Treasury transactions. And in these situations, Treasury is going to be responsible for calculating, securing, monitoring, and even holding the collateral for all of the covered transactions. And maybe one more example would be accounting. So Section 23A imposes limits on the balance of covered transactions with affiliates. And there are a couple of different limits that Mike referenced. One's for the total balance of transactions with each affiliate, and one's for the total of balance of transactions with all affiliates. And so accounting could be responsible for aggregating and calculating the covered transaction balances with each affiliate, making sure that those balances are within the limits. And accounting might also be responsible for preparation and submission of forms or reports required by the Fed. But I want to be clear that this is not just a back office exercise, right? The various lines of business are responsible for the identification of affiliates, ensuring the attributions are occurring as agreed upon. So this is truly a whole bank enterprise activity.
Thanks, Bree. And you said the whole bank. So can we turn and talk a little more specifically about tax and where this intersects with what we might be doing in the tax department?
So in the tax department, essentially, we are seeing the bridge between regulatory and tax aligning is in the areas of cost allocation specifically. The various components of total allocations to affiliates need to be in line with 23B requirements. Banks are managing a variety of affiliate transactions from the time a new arrangement is initiated until debits and credits are posted in the appropriate ledgers. They need to review their pricing policies in light of the 23B requirements and then supplement these market pricing support as necessary. Setting the pricing policy is only the beginning under the regulatory and the tax aspects of a particular transaction. There could be documentation or pricing under the tax regime or for the purposes of submission to tax authorities. However, they need to also be aligned with requirements under Reg W.
Are there differences with what we typically see for tax transfer pricing and Reg W pricing and allocations?
Yes. So affiliate transactions that require market terms under W need to be supported by a market term analysis, which involves comparison of the terms, conditions, and pricing of the transactions relative to similar non-affiliate transactions or external pricing studies. Although Reg W introduces specific definitional nuances, which must be considered in setting affiliate pricing policies, the arm's length principle described in Section 482 of the Internal Revenue Code is generally accepted as providing relevant guidance for determining fair market prices for related party transactions. However, the specificity of a transaction that is being reviewed under Reg W versus that being reviewed under tax may need a different pricing approach in terms of looking at unit pricing versus a very common example in the world of transfer pricing is a cost-plus pricing approach. Under the tax world, a cost-plus pricing approach is acceptable and the profit element is benchmarked. However, under the Reg W world, we need to break down the cost components and evidence that each component of the cost and or total allocation is at market terms.
Thanks, Seema. So it sounds like there's potentially some overlap. They're not entirely the same, but I assume that a bank doesn't want to look at these as completely separate and duplicate work where they can leverage one for the other?
Yes, definitely. I think both the banks and the tax authorities do not mean to create administrative burden on the legal entities. And to the extent there is information that can be leveraged in the form of either a transfer pricing documentation or a transfer pricing benchmarking analysis, which can support the pricing that is also being applied under the Reg W analysis, it can be leveraged. However, in the world of Reg W, the pricing needs to be more objective and more market-driven, unlike in the tax world. And that's really where the differences come into play when benchmarking. Another aspect of differences is there are specific regulations under tax as to what the pricing can be. There could be a range of pricing that can be applied, which may or may not be applicable in the Reg W world. So there are differences, but there is enough also to leverage each other that can help a particular bank entity to meet both requirements while not having to duplicate work in their organization.
Can you guys tell me a little bit about procedurally what happens on the Reg W side in terms of reports submitted, audits, resolution? I think our listeners, and I know myself, I'm familiar with the tax side and the IRS procedures, but what is it like on the Reg W side?
Typically, when the regulator comes into your institution and reviews this process, they're going to be going through your processes and procedures related to each one of these different activities and ensure that proper practices are in place to detect Reg W related transactions and ensure proper cost allocations are going to go through. So typically what they'll do is they'll review those surveys that we outlined before, they'll review your cost allocation analysis, as well as your policies and procedures and controls to make sure that they're sufficient to have a proper program in place. The other area I would really highlight is they tend to start looking in particularly in 23B around proper utilization of what they call a service company. And a service company is really very important to be set up for this because it helps alleviate some of the Reg W related concerns and makes it a little bit more easy to facilitate transactions between the two different entities, as well as moves personnel that are not really related to this process kind of out of the 23B world. So one of the things that we did at my previous institution was we really focused on putting the proper people and the proper technology, contracts, and those related activities in the proper entities. So that actually was a two-year effort at the institution I worked for previously. And we went through a whole analysis, basically, of the people's activities, how much did they do for each of the entities, what was the proper location to station all those different activities in. So that's been a big effort. And I would say at a lot of the foreign banks in particular, over the past 10 years, that's been a pretty heightened focus, particularly, and it pairs nicely with some of the IHC requirements and a lot of the goals of a lot of different institutions around legal entity rationalization and resolution planning. Really, it's been an effort pretty much by the Federal Reserve and the FDIC to have these properly aligned.
Well, and proper entity alignment is music to tax years, right? I love it when the other parts of the bank care about legal entities.
It's been a big effort in resolution planning. Some of the entities when we started out in the category one in resolution planning had 83 to 110 entities. The regulator has been pretty against that and has really been harping on reducing the amount of entities to really essentially creating a worse reverse presumption that you have to prove to us why you need the entity instead of the other way around.
So it sounds to me like the goals of Reg W and transfer pricing really align, even though there may be some different nuances in how the pricing actually works. Is that right, Bree?
I agree with that, Liz. I think that ultimately the goal in both cases is to make sure that when there are related parties, whether it's the affiliates of a bank or cross-border legal entities, that the pricing is correct, right? So that's market terms pricing under Reg W, and that's arm's length pricing under Section 482 for transfer pricing. But ultimately, we're looking at very similar goals. Yes, that's right.
Similar goals, slightly different ones.
Correct.
So what are some of the key challenges in this area?
That's a great question. I think that when we talk to clients, a lot of what we hear is making sure that they have thoroughly, accurately identified all of the affiliates. And that's a really complex and time-consuming process. It requires ongoing tracking. And so that's something that you just have to make sure those lists you have, everybody's involved in creating them, and that they're constantly kept up to date. Another challenge would be all of the various requirements undertaken by different functions of the bank, right? So we talked about how the individual lines of business might identify those covered transactions, but the quantitative limits and calculations might be performed by finance or accounting. And so making sure that these different functions have open lines of communication and making sure that there is a constant back and forth on how these transactions develop is super important. And maybe the final challenge that I'll mention is a delineation and assignment of roles and responsibilities, right? Because we've talked about how many different people are involved. And so a fragmentation of tasks or lack of communication, it can cause duplication of efforts, inefficient coordination, and all of those things could lead to inaccurate or incomplete reporting, which is ultimately what we want to remedy with a good Reg W program.
I know that you guys, I'm going to use all of you, the team broadly, assist a lot of banks in these efforts. What's unique or why do you see banks coming to you to assist with this?
Yeah, that's a great point, Liz. And I think that one of the biggest advantages is that we have tax and transfer pricing people who are used to the benchmarking and understand market terms and arm's length. Working with people like Mike and the advisory practice, making sure that we've got all of the right people on the team. Those typical engagements are usually kind of one of two things, right? It's either on the front end, kind of a gap assessment, some sort of making sure that prior to regulatory review or remediation activities, you're looking at all of the different factors that we talked about, those six key areas of compliance, and making sure you've got all of those in place. The second area where clients come to us is some kind of targeted review, right? So there already have been some regulatory observations or even internal observations within the bank that something's not going quite right with the Reg W program. And so usually we would come in, do some sort of assessment of the existing program, look at the framework, make sure that there's kind of an evaluation of what's happening so that there's a plan with respect to each of those key elements. And maybe the last thing I'll say on that is many people tend to think of Reg W is a kind of risk and control assessment. And it is. But that doesn't mean that only risk is responsible, right? We've talked about today how many different areas. This is an organization-wide effort to make sure compliance is in place. And so I think it's important to remember going into any review, whether it's before the regulators have come in or after, making sure that you've got all the right stakeholders and team players ready to go and talk about the Reg W program.
That makes sense. So any other final thoughts, Bree, Seema, Michael?
For the benefit of our listeners, a quick summary of actionable steps that a covered bank should take into account when monitoring market terms and while collaborating with their legal, compliance, finance, and tax teams. One, establish policies and procedures to address credit exposures, if any, resulting from transactions with affiliates. Second, when setting pricing, compare terms of affiliate transactions to prevailing market terms. Third, ensure that they have accounted for all the covered transactions and that these covered transactions are within market terms. Fourth, align pricing approach with any other internal benchmarking performed for tax transfer pricing purposes to ensure there are no conflicts. Lastly, I do want to highlight that they should team with the legal and compliance document the terms and conditions of affiliate services contracts and keep them up to date on an ongoing basis.
Yeah, I'll add one thing as well. One of the key things that I see, particularly when we start talking to banks about category change and potential purchasing of other institutions, is really that this is one of the key areas that we need to evaluate as you take on new different entities and businesses and ensure that as your business structure changes, that you're appropriately complying with the regulations. Definitely a highlight, as we've seen with some of the big mergers last year and some of the ones that are being discussed currently, that this is under very much of a consideration.
Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate your time today. Definitely very informative. I feel like I finally understand a little bit more about the Reg W that I keep hearing about. So thank you, Michael, Bree, Seema. It's been great having you on today. And to our audience, thank you for joining. This is Liz Lamadou on behalf of KPMG Banking and Capital Markets Tax Practice. I look forward to talking again soon.
Thanks, Liz.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to In the Vault with KPMG. Be sure to subscribe to this series to be notified of new episodes.